Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Illinois Family Spotlight. David Smith, the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. This is kind of a whole new thing for IFI and IFA.
That's right, Monty. It's kind of exciting that we're able to use technology today to reach a new group of listeners, audience, hopefully some younger people, and help them be informed about the issues of the day, the moral issues facing our culture, the politics that are going on within our state, within the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and how they can take action to help our country stay on the right track.
One of the goals of Illinois Family Spotlight is not just to listen to the problems that Illinois and our nation are facing, but what we can do about them, we as individuals and we as our churches and so forth.
That's right. It's vital that Christian conservatives stay engaged, that they stay involved in the public square, speaking truth to the culture, being active citizens, engaged in the political process. You know, listen, God has given us and blessed us with this phenomenal system called self-government. I mean, really, no other country in the world before America had this. And we are blessed to be part of the government. It is incumbent upon us as Christian conservatives to stay engaged, be informed, to take action, and be a part of the solution for the benefit of the whole society, of our culture, for our neighbors. And we can talk a little bit more about that, Monty, if you want, about why it's important to be active, to love our neighbors as the Lord commanded.
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about IFI and IFA.
Sure.
A lot of folks who may be listening probably know a good deal about Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action, but there's some folks out there who don't know about
us. That's correct, yes.
We've been around since 1992.
That's right.
And who are we and what do we stand for?
Yes, well, actually, many people probably don't realize we have two different organizations. We have Illinois Family Institute, which is a 501c3 that was launched back in 1992 with the help of Focus on the Family. We are now completely independent and actually affiliated with the American Family Association. And what we try to do is bring a biblical perspective to public policy. So what does that mean? That means we are in Springfield. It's kind of a two-front battlefront for us. One front is in Springfield, dealing with our state lawmakers, trying to educate them on issues of moral concern. And what is that? Pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family, and there's other issues we can get into, including gambling, and which we put under the pro-family banner, drug usage and that kind of thing, pornography, all that. So we're in Springfield trying to educate the lawmakers on issues of moral concern. The second front is really dealing with the body of Christ, trying to teach and educate the body on these same issues and why they need to take action as citizens to communicate with their elected officials on these various issues. So, you know, they need to be active and take ownership of their government.
Well, I think that's so important because I know I've been in a lot of churches over my lifetime, and it seems like a lot of the folks sitting in the pews don't know what's happening in state government.
No.
And they think it's all that's just politics, but it's really, we're talking about moral issues too.
Well, absolutely. And the fact is, I'm tickled when I am able to ask the question in front of an audience and ask them, can you guess how many pieces of legislation has been introduced during this legislative cycle? Now, one legislative cycle is a two-year period, right? So in over the last, I'm going to say, four legislative sessions, this has been true. So I ask this question, how many bills do you think have been introduced? And people will start out with 500, 1,000. And when I keep telling them, you're too low, the faces get a little bit more worried in the crowd. And then when I tell them, you know, there's over 10,000 bills that have been introduced over the last several sessions, their faces get really concerned.
And a lot of those bills aren't anything good.
No, many of them are anti-family. Let me say it this way. They expand the size, scope, and spending of our Illinois government. And many of them are also not conducive for the pro-life view, pro-marriage, pro-family. So, you know, we're down there dealing with, you know, maybe a dozen, maybe 22 dozen bills that we're trying to either, one, promote or trying to stop.
You know, I go to men's Bible study every Saturday, and we have a prayer request time.
Yes.
And frequently, as an activist, I bring up what's happening in Springfield.
Oh, that's so good.
And I talk about some of the bills that have made it to the governor's desk and that he signed. And these smart gentlemen that I'm involved in a Bible study with had no idea that this was going on in our state. Their mouths drop.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, and I don't think we can under or over emphasize this. You know, prayer is a huge part of this. If the Christian community is not aware of these things going on, as you're pointing out, how can they be praying about it? So a big part of this is not just activating, and of course that's our first reaction, is to make a phone call, send an email to whatever elected official that we're targeting and ask them, don't do this or do this, right? But we've also got to emphasize the prayer aspect of this, because we know in Proverbs, Scripture tells us that the king's hand, in this case, maybe the legislature or the governor, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. He turns it whichever way he wants. And so if we truly believe that, okay, if God is sovereign and can work in the heart of man or in the mind of man sometimes, then we need to be fervently praying to the Lord, oh, please change this guy's heart. Please change this lawmaker's mind. You know, so anyway, that's a good point, Monty.
Well, you mentioned that Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action are two different things. And you mentioned 501c3.
I'm glad you brought me back.
That's kind of legalese.
You let me go down that rabbit trail over there.
Well, that's kind of legalese and tax stuff and all that.
Yes.
But what's the big difference?
All right. Well, so, okay, the C3 is an education organization. That's what we're trying to do, and we do limited lobbying. So we're educating, educating, educating. And your donations to the 501c3 are tax deductible. Now, because we have the First Amendment, and because Congress makes us jump through hoops to exercise our First Amendment, we had to create a C4, a 501c4. Now, that is also a nonprofit. We call it Illinois Family Action. This podcast is under the auspices of that. And we launched that back in 2010 because we recognized we need to do a little more on the political side of things. And that's the C4. Your donations to that are welcomed and needed. However, they're not tax deductible, okay? Because we are being more political, a little more partisan, and we're able to do election type work as well. So that's the big difference. One is an education organization, one's more political.
And the education end, Illinois Family,
is nonpartisan, non-political.
And we deal with policy issues.
Policy issues,
right.
That's it.
And as you mentioned, with Illinois Family Action, we can actually get a little more political,
talk about
the candidates.
That's right.
Maybe endorse some candidates.
That's what we do, absolutely. In fact, we've even got two different voter guides with these organizations. The 501c3, Illinois Family Institute, has been doing a voter guide every election cycle since we launched. And it is a nonpartisan voter guide that can go into your churches. It won't violate your 501c3 status of your church, and it'll help voters in your church make educated decisions about where the candidates stand. Now, we also have a C4 voter guide, and that's at ilvoterguide.com. It's on the web, And there we rank candidates, which is a lot more subjective, a lot more political, on a 7-point scale from very liberal to very conservative. So those are two different resources that listeners can make themselves available to.
And these voter guides will be available in late September.
That's correct.
All right. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
Join former presidential candidate and retired U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann at the Illinois Family Institute Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, September 30th at the Stonegate in Hoffman Estates.
It is in God that we as a nation put our trust.
Michelle Bachmann and the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet. Order tickets at illinoisfamily.org.
No government gave me rights that only God can give.
Order tickets today at illinoisfamily.org or call 708-781-9328. Underwritten by Illinois Family Institute.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update. A top education leader is speaking out against Common Core.
The two main problems with Common Core are way too much federal control, and then the feds using that control to import all sorts of really hostile ideologies into the classroom.
Dr. Duke Pesta is the academic director of Freedom Project Education. He says if left unchecked, Common Core will allow the government to take greater control of families.
Break up families, push that to the federal level, and make the state the primary parents of our children.
Dr. Pesta says parents should express their concerns about Common Core to public school officials and lawmakers.
We all push a little bit. God's told us in the past, as Christians, he'll push with us. So we've got to start making the effort.
Dr. Duke Pesta will headline two Crisis in American Education forums in August. To find out more, click events on the illinoisfamily.org homepage. This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and with me is David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. Dave, we had a busy summer, especially down in Springfield, with the state GOP convention.
That's right. It was actually in the spring in April, this past April.
Okay.
Every 4 years, they have a state convention, a Republican convention. This year, it was in Peoria. And we had a phenomenal opportunity with our organization to be involved and make a difference in how the platform was going to be crafted and what was going to be adopted eventually by the Republican delegates.
And there was a big controversy there.
Oh, there was. We kind of saw it coming and were kind of concerned, so we did put the word out to our readers, our subscribers. You can subscribe at illinoisfamily.org and let them know, look, if you can make it to the Republican convention as a delegate, please join us because there may be a bit of a battle on how the marriage and family plank is defined in the Republican platform.
So kind of the rhino-type Republicans wanted to change things up?
That is exactly right. Unfortunately, disgraced former chairman Pat Brady of the Republican Party was on this platform committee. Now, let me just step back real quick and explain to the listeners. The platform committee is made up of 18 appointees. Now, from every single congressional district, there's 18 congressional districts in Illinois. There are 18 state central committee men for the Republican Party, and these committee men make appointments. They can appoint someone to the platform committee. In 2012, my state central committee men, I asked, could I get on the platform committee? And she allowed me. She said, yes, you'd be perfect. So back then, 2012, I was part of the platform committee who wrote tweaked the Republican platform for the Republican Party. Now, this year, Pat Brady was appointed from the 6th Congressional District, and there were a couple other, liberal Republicans, rhinos, Republican in name only, who decided to rewrite the marriage and family plank, and it was troubling. What they came up with was very troubling. In fact, they had five different paragraphs, and in it, they basically said, do you want me to go into this?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there were five paragraphs to this new marriage and family plank. And in two paragraphs, and I will call them paragraph C and paragraph D, there were troubling aspects to it. But the most problematic was paragraph C. And let me just read you part of it, okay? It says this: "We acknowledge and welcome the diversity of opinions within our party regarding families, including the views that marriage is defined as a union of one man and one woman." Now, that's not a problem, right? "That non-traditional families are worthy of the same respect and legal protections as traditional families." Insert scratching record here, okay? Wait a minute. Hold on. "And that marriage ought to be the purview of religious institutions and not of government." Okay, so here's the problem.
Okay. On the surface, it sounds okay.
It's, well, you know, listen, a little disclaimer. You know, non-traditional family members, in other words, a.k.a. homosexuals, LGBT people, yes, they are worthy of respect and dignity.
Exactly.
They are created in God's image. We love them. But we love them enough to tell them the truth, too, don't we?
Right.
I mean, not just affirm what they do and who they claim to be, their self-identity. But here's the problem. If you look at this plank and this paragraph, I want you to substitute any other of the main issues that the Republican Party upholds. So we acknowledge and welcome the diversity of opinions within our party regarding the Second Amendment. What? We acknowledge and welcome the diversity of opinions within our party regarding taxation. Okay? We acknowledge and welcome the diversity of opinions within our party regarding the military, okay, or border control, or, you know, add any of those subjects. Really? So the platform, which is the ideal of the party, right? We're upholding the ideal that we want to strive for. We're going to say we welcome gun control and Second Amendment people. We welcome border control and open border people. We're going to take a stand for the ideal. That's what the platform is for, right? To uphold the ideal. So no, we don't welcome the diversity of opinions. Here's the ideal that we're striving for.
I see.
Does that make sense?
It does. And you know, one of the things that the proponents of this change kind of did to make people want to pass this was they said, we want to also add something about religious freedom and the protection
right.
of religious liberty.
Right.
And you say, well,
yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
That was great. I don't have a problem with that, but why put it in the marriage and family plank? It should have been a standalone plank, right?
Right.
Because, you know, religious freedom isn't just tied to the marriage issue, right? We see people right now in Illinois who are going to be punished if this law is upheld on the abortion issue, right? In other words, medical doctors and nurses who don't want to give abortion referrals, right? Could be punished by the state of Illinois if they don't do it. So where's their religious liberty? And it's not tied to marriage. It's tied to the issue of life.
And they wouldn't let you vote for that separately. You had to vote for the whole package.
That's right. That's right. See, that was the problem. We would have loved to see the religious liberty section put in by itself, a standalone plank, which it should have been. But the liberals on the Republican Platform Committee made overtures to, hey, we want to be a big tent party. So this comes up frequently with leftists in the Republican Party. They want to extend, and of course, Pat Brady was talking about his kids and how the young people accept gay marriage and homosexuality today. My point back to him and to those who make this assertion of the big tent is, yes, we want a big tent, but it doesn't require us to move leftward. If we really want a big tent, we should be reaching out to black conservatives, Hispanic conservatives, Asian conservatives, Christians who share these values. And there are a lot of them. Where's the Republican Party reaching out to minorities? They want a bigger tent? There's some easy picking. The fruit is low hanging. It's there for the taking. And the Democrats have really, I think over the years, have taken advantage of the minority community and their votes.
This brings something to mind for me. This was my first time being a delegate at a state convention.
And I'm glad you were there.
Well, I'm glad I was there, too. I learned a lot.
Well,
and I would
we got to finish the story, by the way, too.
Right. We need others to become delegates.
Absolutely. There were 3,000 delegate slots available. There were only 1,000 in attendance. So 2,000 more people could have been there. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in what happened and would like to be a part of it in the future, give us a call at Illinois Family Action, and we'll talk to you about this.
Well, about
it's only every 4 years, though.
Yeah, but about finishing this story,
yes.
We had enough delegates there
right.
to
well,
turn
here,
back
here's the thing.
This amendment.
The platform committee did adopt this troubling platform, okay, but there were enough members on the platform committee who said, we want to submit a minority report, which is another way. We want another option. And so we went through the process, and it wasn't an easy process to get the signatures of Republican delegate heads. Now, that's county chairman. That's, you know, township chairman in Cook County. There's a lot of them. We got over enough signatures of those people to be able to submit this minority report to the full delegation when it came up for a vote. And thankfully, we had some great speakers on our side. We had State Representative Tom Morrison from Palatine. We had State Representative Terry Bryant. She is from Southern Illinois. And then we had new state senator Dan McConkey from Lake County. They all spoke forcefully about why we needed to keep the old language, the 2012 language, and reject the new language that was adopted for the marriage and family plank. There were two opponents to that who spoke, but in the end, it went to the whole delegation, and 80% of us chose to keep the original language and reject the new. It was phenomenal. Monty, it turns out selling marriage to Republicans wasn't that hard.
Well, that's a big victory for the pro-family cause. We need more big victories.
Yes,
we need
we do.
People to get involved. What can they do?
Well, visit our website, subscribe to our emails, ifiaction.org. Give us a call. Spread the news on Facebook, on Twitter, and other social media. Spread the news. Be involved.
Thanks for joining us on this inaugural broadcast of Illinois Family Spotlight. And a big thank you to John Christoph and Kathy Valenti, who helped make this happen. Thanks again. See you here next week.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.